This is your classical break, a chance to take a step back and enjoy some great music in the middle of a busy day. I'm Tyler Alderson, and today we'll be listening to Brahms' gorgeous four piano pieces. But before we begin, now that this little project's chugging along, I would like to say thank you for listening, downloading, subscribing, whatever you're doing with this podcast. If you do have some time to review it on iTunes or wherever you're getting it from, Stitcher or Google Play, it would be much appreciated. And please do share it around if you know any other people who might be interested. Again, thank you so much. Get back to the Brahms. By the time he was writing this, Brahms had started to wind down his career in many different ways. He was 60, he had never been in very good health. He spent most of his summers in a spa town in Austria, known for being a restful and restorative place. You can see pictures of him. He's got this long gray beard, big belly. He's getting into Santa Claus territory with his whole look. He had also assumed a sort of elder statesman role in the music community, and he had stopped writing for orchestra, moving away from big works like symphonies and concertos, writing for smaller sets of instruments, solo piano, small chamber groups, piano and singer. This was a big change, and it shows his mindset at this point in his life. He had already made his big, bold statements. He felt his energy was better suited to smaller, more intimate, and more personal work. Now, even though these are short pieces made for a single instrument, they're not just tossed off. They weren't easy for him to write. These have a lot of work and thought packed into them. They're like a well-made watch, very finely made in both senses of the word fine. Now, these are also the last pieces he wrote for solo piano, and some of his last pieces ever, actually. In classical music, we talk about opus numbers, which is a way of cataloging composers' works. Opus is Latin for work. You might have heard the phrase magnum opus before to mean someone's great or biggest work. The first piece a composer publishes is opus 1, the next one is opus 2, etc., etc. This collection is Brahms' opus 119. His last piece was opus 122, so we're not very far from the end here. And you get the sense that Brahms knew that, too. The overall feeling of these pieces is Brahms grappling with both the life he's lived and what he has left. They alternate between being nostalgic and melancholic, all the way to being agitated with some of that fear of mortality coming through, even in the lightest moments. You can hear it especially in the third piece, which is generally light and graceful, but minor chords and dissonances break in every now and again. The second piece is the opposite. It has a tumultuous start, but the middle is a lovely waltz, almost as if his memory came into his head of a ballroom some years ago. And the final piece feels more triumphant, but again, it has that feeling interrupted by these less happy feelings that creep in. My favorite is the first piece. Brahms' mentor Clara Schumann called it a gray pearl, which I think is a wonderful way to put it. It's really Brahms wallowing in melancholy and nostalgia for a few minutes, but he's loving every minute of it. He himself said he wanted to suck melancholy out of each and every note, lustily and with pleasure. Another interesting turn of phrase. Brahms makes beauty out of deep sadness here, and he even has some fun doing it. Here's Peter Bradley Fulgoni with Brahms' four piano pieces. Thank you. Well, Brahms wrote a lot of big finales for his symphonies, concertos. You can hear it even when it's just a solo piano. He doesn't go gentle into that good night, at least he isn't ready to yet. Thanks to Peter Bradley Fulgoni for putting that recording up on museopen.org. I'm Tyler Alderson, and tomorrow for your classical break, we're celebrating Bach's birthday with one of his many, many masterpieces, his fourth Brandenburg Concerto. See you then.